It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Well, let me welcome you to Jerusalem. Michael Brown sitting here, yes, live in my apartment in Jerusalem. No, not Jerusalem, Tennessee, or Jerusalem, Arkansas. I don't know if there is such a place, but the real Jerusalem, the real McCoy, Jerusalem, Israel, in the midst of a one-week ministry trip here. Thank you for joining me on the line of fire. Remember to call 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can interact with me in real time on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Well, I've got a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about on the show today. Even here in Israel, by God's grace, we are functioning as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, and bringing yet another wake-up call, another call to believers in America to think about where we stand and to wake up. I also want to give you some more reports about Jerusalem. I'll tell you, just walking the streets tonight, I took a walk early evening up and down the one main block near my apartment here where I'm staying. And I don't want to walk too far because I'm not familiar with the neighborhood, and I didn't know that I'd be able to find my way back. But boy, you just see so many different people. And maybe if we have time later in the show, I'll do a little trivia question to see how well you know religious Jewish garb and why religious Jews dress the way they do. But just a whole lot of different cultures blending here. And one other thing before I get into my little wake-up call and get your blood boiling, so just those with high blood pressure, be aware that we're going to get your blood boiling shortly. As we were driving back from Tiberias to Jerusalem today, we went back a different route, which takes you down towards Jericho, takes you down parallel basically with the Jordan, and on the other side of these mountains are what would be called the Palestinian territories, and cities like Jenin and Ramallah and other things like that. And as we were traveling, you pass Bedouin here and there. These are people who've lived same way for centuries and centuries, little tents or just ramshackle places with their cattle. And, I mean, they've just lived the same way for centuries and centuries. And here's something fascinating. A professor at one of the universities in Israel did some DNA testing on these Bedouin, who are known as Arabs and Muslims, and discovered that their DNA resembled the DNA of Ashkenazi Jews. These are Jews who live largely in Eastern Europe. So German Jews would be included in that as well. European Jews, I should say, by and large. And found a similarity between Jewish DNA, Ashkenazi Jewish DNA, and Bedouin DNA. And the theory is, and some have discovered this with those that are called Palestinians, and the theory of this professor was that some of the Jews who were left in the land, who stayed through the centuries when it was conquered by the Muslims, felt it was more important to stay in the land, and if they converted to Islam, that was okay, but this was their ancestral home, and they converted to Islam, and yet they actually have Jewish blood. Isn't that interesting? Fascinating. Okay, are you ready to get provoked, charged? There's yet another story. Just a shocker, and it's from New England, Provincetown, Massachusetts. And parents, if you got kids in the car, I know a lot of you listen to The Line of Fire when you're picking your kids up at school on the East Coast. We run into you, and sometimes even the kids will mention that they like to listen. So there's just a bit of adult content coming out, nothing profane, of course, it's going on the airwaves, but just a little heads up, there's a bit of adult content, which you'll see is all the more ironic that I have to warn you about adult content. content. A story from Provincetown, Massachusetts. Joey, go ahead and run the clip.
Provincetown may have a reputation for being eccentric, but critics say a new school policy goes way too far. Condoms will soon be made available to all students, even in elementary schools. As Rondella Richardson reports tonight, the condom free-for-all has some parents scratching their heads.
When you have sand between your toes and erotic toys are readily available on Main Street, it's hard not to be laid back. But Provincetown gets an even bigger notch in its liberal belt because school-aged children will soon be given free condoms if they ask.
I think that's going a little too far.
I would definitely say some kids would be having sex in elementary school, and it's important for them to be able to protect themselves.
Yes, even first through sixth graders get condoms, and each one comes with a talk about the birds and the bees.
I think it's pretty sick.
Can you think of any reason why it would be a good idea to give this out in elementary?
No.
What makes you think a 5 or 6-year-old is going to be interested in this? Perhaps if you're excluded, it would become interesting to you.
The policy says the school does not approve of sexual activity by students. Still, tourists are taken aback.
This is ridiculous and absurd. It's disgusting.
Local opinion? Mixed.
First graders, they wouldn't even, they'd probably take them out and fill them with water and throw them at people.
If the parents aren't teaching them, somebody's got to.
It's in the policy that even as a parent, you cannot ask that your child not receive a condom.
They could say it, but we wouldn't honor it.
Why is that?
I would prefer to hear parents say to their children, you're not allowed to have sex, as opposed to you're not allowed to have a condom.
So there is no option out? That's it. Wow.
And I think that should be a parent's decision to decide whether they should have condoms available to them or whether they are even going to be put in that situation.
All 66 high schoolers and 89 students in the lower grades can start asking for these latest school supplies in September. There will be no paper trail, the school isn't taking names, and will not report back to parents.
Oh, can you believe, yeah, there was another school where this was discussed. Some of the most lame things I've ever heard were coming from the superintendent of schools there, Dr. Beth Singer. Elementary school, first graders, kids 6 years old. I mean, this is insane, even the discussion of it. But there'll be no paper trail. They won't say who got them. Parents will not be allowed to know, and you're not allowed to opt out. So I have a question for you. I want you to be real candid with me, 866-34-TRUTH. If you were a parent of a kid in that school, tell me what you'd do. Be a real candid with me. If your kid went to that school and they set up this policy, what would you as a parent of an elementary school kid do? 866-348-7884. Even though I am here in Jerusalem, I am still functioning as a watchman on the wall in America too. And parents, some of the people are scratching their head. Oh boy, I don't know about this. It goes a little too far. One of the parents says, or local folks in the community, goes a little too far? Are you kidding me? And I believe that because there were no attributions of who was saying what, I believe, though, that it was the superintendent, Dr. Beth Singer, who made the comment, well, perhaps if you're excluded, you'll take an interest. So because elementary school kids, you know, we're not going to give you condoms, and I guess those kids would then get interested. Well, what do you mean I can't have it? Well, how about if you exclude them from drug use? Kids, we're not giving you syringes to shoot drugs. We're not giving you pipes to smoke hash. We're not giving, maybe then, well, I want to try if you're not giving it to me. And you can't opt out. And the school will not tell you. I wonder if it's still school policy there that you have to have parents' permission to give the kid an aspirin. I wonder. I've got a few other interesting things. Like I said, I warned you in advance that this would get your blood boiling. You don't need me to be a voice of moral sanity with something like this, because I think anyone with a working, functioning brain would realize the insanity. So when we come back, the other side of the break, as a parent, what would you do? It's not simply a matter of, well, I might pull my kid out of that school. There are more things. So, Jose and Raleigh, you're up first. But as a parent, that's your school, that's your kid, what would you do? A whole lot more to come live from Jerusalem on the Line of Fire today. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown live in Jerusalem. Talking about a whole bunch of interesting things. I mentioned yesterday Jerusalem syndrome, where people come to Jerusalem and they think that they're Elijah the prophet or King David or Jesus or something like that. Well, I just got an email. This could be my junk mail of the week from Mrs. Eileen James. You are the chosen one. That's fitting to get this interest. You are the chosen one. Of course, I was chosen to get, what, $67 million or some such thing. Okay, question is, how should you respond? You're a parent of an elementary school kid. I played this clip in the first segment. You are the parent of an elementary school kid. You live in Provincetown, Massachusetts, known very liberal, laid back. And the school is now instituting a policy. Oh, they have strongly worded statements that they're against sexual activity among children. But since children are going to do what they're going to do, any kid from first grade up can request a condom from the school. And the school then explains birds and bees, make sure they know how to use it, but will not keep a paper trail of who they give them to and who they don't. Parents will not be informed. Parents are not allowed to be informed. And parents cannot say, not my kid. What would you do about it? You live there in Provincetown, Massachusetts. What would you do? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is it just simply a matter of pulling your kid out? Are there other things that you might do? Jose, who was not able to stay with us on the phone, said we need to speak out against this. But tell me honestly, you're a mom, you're a dad. This is now instituted in the school where your kid goes. What would you do? What actions should be taken? Be honest. Maybe your response might not be entirely Christian, but I'm curious to know what you would do. Okay. Just another school story of interest. There was a teacher in Michigan, starting with an M, but I think they're two different states last time I checked. A teacher in Michigan, it was Spirit Day. This is the day now where they're saying, okay, we're going to stand together against bullying of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender kids. And a kid comes in, he's wearing a belt with a Confederate flag and the belt logo. So that's his belt buckle. And he tells the class he doesn't accept gay people because of his religion. I don't know exactly what was said. I have not yet been able to find an article that gives his exact words. But his teacher, Jay McDowell, said, you got to leave. Out. You're out. All right, you disrespect your peers, some gay commentators say, you're out. He didn't like the way the discussion was going. He kicks the kid out. Well, he gets suspended for a day without pay. Well, there's a hearing about this, and a 14-year-old student stands up on behalf of the teacher. A 14-year-old student stands up on behalf of the teacher. I want you to hear what this 14-year-old student has to say.
My father is Kirk Taylor. He's a teacher at Heartland, and he tells me about things that go on in this area, and it seems like a nice community. I myself am gay, and I'm a young person, and that can cause lots of trouble. And when you hear of things like Dr. King's speech that one day he wanted his grandchildren, his posterity, to not be judged on the color of their skin but the content of their character, I hope that one day we too can be judged on the content of our character and not who we love. Howell is the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. Does that really sound great on your racism record, the fact that they chose this city to come into? And you probably want to get rid of that. So how would you like more headlines of Howell denies gays, Howell doesn't protect them?
So, you know, this kid said when he was 9, because of what he heard in the classes, he wanted to kill himself. I just want to remind you, it's my spiritual and moral duty to remind you that if you say, I don't agree with homosexual practice because of my biblical beliefs, I don't agree with homosexual practice because of my social beliefs, my moral beliefs, whatever it is that fuels your particular understanding of what is right and wrong, you will be likened by children now, by little kids, to Ku Klux Klan. And skin color will be equated with sexual orientation. Does that bother you? If you are a person of color, if you have watched for years and years battle for civil rights, if you still may perceive inequalities in certain areas of society, but certainly in years past with segregation and more horrible things before that, simply based on skin color, does it bother you as a person of color when a 14-year-old boy gets up in a public hearing and makes reference to his sexual orientation? At 9, he's supposedly fully developed sexual orientation, but now at 14, he's referring to himself as openly gay. Does it bother you when gay activists equate their situation, sexual orientation, with skin color? That doesn't mean you hate people. God forbid. It doesn't mean you want to do violence to people. God forbid. But does that bother you when you hear that? Does that strike you as a very wrong comparison, an unjust comparison, even a hijacking of civil rights? I don't want to provoke you if you've been enjoying a great day with the Lord. And what's the weather like where you are? I don't know. It's very nice here in Jerusalem. Maybe it's been a beautiful sunny day and you put on the radio because you want to be encouraged, you want to be edified. Well, how about being activated? How about being motivated to go to God and to pray and to ask God for righteousness to rise, to go to God and to pray and to say, Lord, open the blinders, to remove the blinders from people and open eyes and stir hearts. Look, there is so much lethargy in our society. It is just so easy for us to fall asleep. Black evangelist and activist Tom Skinner, many years ago, with the Lord now, but many years ago, around 1970, was talking about the revolutionary battle for our country, the situation it was in, the moral crisis it was in, and said that he was concerned that most Americans were so apathetic that they just kind of go the way that the society goes. And we're watching that happen. So I ask you again, you're a parent of a kid in elementary school, your school sets up a policy that condoms can be given out to the kids upon their request. They go to the school office. I mean, how many kids in elementary school know what that is? So yeah, but some are sexually active. So you don't work with a recognition that something's way off in the culture and teach abstinence? And again, the standard question, if kids are doing drugs, do you give them drugs? If they're interested in heroin, do you give them needles, syringes? People see the irony of it, the shock of it. I'm venting again, but hopefully in the spirit of it. We'll take some calls. We come back live from Jerusalem here on the Line of Fire. God of light, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, coming your way live from Jerusalem, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, just a couple quick things. Would you keep me in prayer tomorrow? Let's see. It would be, well, we're 7 hours ahead here in Israel, so any time after lunch, basically, and any time right around lunchtime on East Coast, and then from the morning on the West Coast, if you could remember to keep me in prayer, so we're 10 hours ahead of California. I'll be doing a lecture at Hebrew University at the invitation of students there. They're publicizing it, trying to get word out for other students to come that are not believers. They tried to get a rabbi to debate me. One fellow, a counter-missionary rabbi, said he was willing, and then he, after taking counsel with others, dropped out, wasn't willing to do it. But we want to use this to get people thinking, to discuss issues, get them thinking. I'll be taking questions from the student audience, from those that attend. Who knows, you may get a professor, a rabbi. That's what happened when we did a talk at USC a few years ago. And then it should be videotaped and then eventually put up on YouTube. So would you pray for that? I've got other ministry going on and through the rest of the week. But if I'm able to get back in time from Hebrew University, then I'll give you a live update immediately after the event. Otherwise, it might be a few days before we're able to do that. And if I'm unable to get back, we have some special programming planned for you. Get back in time for the show. Anyway, question I asked at the beginning, your school, like happened in Provincetown, Massachusetts, is now giving out condoms to elementary school students upon their request. They won't tell you who got them. They won't keep a paper trail. Parents are not allowed to know, and parents will – it's just so outrageous every time I say it. And parents will not be allowed to opt out. What would you do as a parent? I know what I would do. There are a number of things. But one in particular. But I'm wondering what you would do as a parent. Steve in Kaysville, Utah, from Jerusalem here. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. And
hey.
I do pray for you, by the way. But the regarding my kids, I we've been there for, I think, 2003. Every single year, my kids are now 6 and 9. So, you know, started with my first one being in school. And I argue with this, the whole administration, at least twice a year, to the point where there's an incident that happened where it could have cost them their jobs. And I just, like, I went to the Lord, and I asked God for an answer. And it was to the point where we were going to try and get on the board or something, anything to make a change, because it was just, the agenda they were forcing was ridiculous. And I was very fortunate. I prayed God provided actually a private Christian school. Never could afford it, but this administrator said that he, you know, he felt led to give it to us, and it was a great, great thing. So I just want to encourage you know, other people that are out there, you know, continue, you know, pray. But if God puts it on your heart to intervene and get on that board, you know, so be it. I think we need to do it as believers.
Got it.
You know,
and that's a good. I appreciate the testimony of God providing also, and then seeking to make an effort as opposed to simply pulling kids out. But hey, Steve, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Debbie, Franklin, Massachusetts. So Provincetown, Massachusetts, is not that far away from you, huh?
It's about 45 minutes away.
Amazing.
I had no idea about this. I'm so grateful that I listened to your show. I think it's really gross, and I blame the parents and the adults at the school, because why would they allow this to take place? And they're saying, well, kids are going to do it anyways. Well, why are they allowing little kids to control them, to tell them they'll do what they want to do? I don't know.
That's a good question. Okay,
yeah.
So what would you do as a parent?
Well, first of all, at our church every Monday night, we have what you call Mothers Unite. And we pray for
mm-hmm.
all of our kids and people who are not saved. And I'm definitely going to add this town, Provincetown, to this to the cross. We have a man-made cross in our church. We have all names up there. And I'm definitely going to pray and stuff. But I don't know, part of me is like, I feel like inside of me, I have a drive inside of me right now that I want to call up the the school down there, because I don't understand what they're thinking. What's going on in their minds? You know, I mean,
yep.
My kids homeschool right now, but I do have a daughter mm-hmm. who goes to, you know, college, and she is exposed to the craziness of this world. But I don't know, if I was the parents down there, I wouldn't put up with it.
Got it.
You know?
Hey, Debbie, thanks for calling in. Shine the light there in Massachusetts with those moms, okay?
I will. And I hope you're having a great time down in Israel.
Yeah, everything is good here. I've been blessed. Yeah. A lot of traveling back and forth to a few locations, but wonderful yeah. time of ministry. Thanks, Debbie.
Well,
God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless you.
Bless you. You know, look, of course you pray. You pray for people involved. And of course, this isn't, of course, to me, an obvious and no-brainer. Whatever you have to do to pull the kids out of there, you pull them out. Just the insanity of having them in an environment that holds to values like that is such that you do what you have to do. You make family choices, no matter how sacrificial, to pull the kids out. I know it may be easier said than done. That's where churches have to come together and help people with financial need or other things like that, or with schooling their kids. But you make a moral decision. But to me, you do more than that. And that everybody's different. I'm not saying that everyone has to do this the same way. But on some level, you use this as a platform to expose the immorality and the sin and the insanity of the society. In other words, to me, what I would obviously do immediately in a gracious spirit, not in a nasty, angry, yelling, pounding fist, scary, mean spirit, but very plainly, very bluntly, confront teachers, administration, whoever's in control, and school board, whatever I can, and then see if there are any legal, ethical issues. I would hit it from every angle like that. We'll make it clear that I've got to pull my kid out. I would, though, do my best. Again, this is my calling, but you can do it on a neighbor-to-neighbor level. I would do my best to take this public, to make this a public issue, to absolutely declare to the society, get people talking, get people thinking, well, because that's part of how you preach the gospel. You say condoms in elementary school is how you preach the gospel. What I mean is you talk about moral issues and you get people recognizing sin. You get people recognizing how crazy things are. You get people recognizing how off things are. And then from there, you can say, look, we need to turn to God. We need Jesus. Things are very much messed up. All right, one quick thing before we go to break. On a Facebook page, I noticed a question, because I said here in Jerusalem, broadcasting while you were there, are there any rockets or car bombs going off, or is it for the most part pretty silent? And I said silent as usual, except for certain parts of Israel because of Israeli vigilance. Someone else posted, Americans are too much indoctrinated by media. Please have someone understanding. Back for the fellow who had asked the question. Well, please understand, there'd be car bombs going off every day and people killed every day, if not for Israeli vigilance. Just to be clear on that. Okay, back with a disturbing report from Egypt. Stay with us.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Welcome back from Jerusalem. Yes, Michael Brown, live in Jerusalem. Coming your way on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Can I ask you to do me a quick favor? Won't take you long, won't cost you a dime. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire and take the survey. All right? It just take you a couple of seconds. How do you usually listen to the Line of Fire? Live via radio, live via the online stream, recorded shows via computer, recorded shows via mobile device, or other. I'm not sure what the other option would be. Maybe shortwave radio in a hut somewhere in Africa. But anyway, let us know. It's helpful for us to have this info in terms of people who are coming to the website, people listening in different ways. So if you do that, I'd really appreciate it. AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and take a couple of seconds and take the survey. All right. A bit of a reality check from Egypt. This is a report on Israel National News, but this is being widely reported in other places. Mayana Miskin reports that Muslim-Christian tensions broke out Monday in southern Egypt, where a Muslim mob stormed a Christian neighborhood in the mixed city of Abu Tesh and set fire to several homes. The arson attack followed rumors that a Christian man was romantically involved with a young Muslim woman. This is Islamic tolerance. This is Islamic diversity. Look, a country like Egypt, with a large number of Copt Christians, whether they're born-again people, true Christians walking with Jesus or not, is not even the issue here. They are identified as Christian by the Muslim society, and they identify themselves as Christian. This is not like Saudi Arabia, where you would not have several million Saudis saying, native Saudis, we are Christians, okay? This is Egypt, where you have several million. Yes, a small minority, but this is a historic part of Egypt, the historic society within Egypt, and yet the Islamic anger, hatred, severe intolerance in the worst sense of the word is constantly evident or regularly evident. None of the town's Christian residents were hurt in the mob attack. Police were sent to the area to restore calm. The Christian man and Muslim woman, who became the subject of rumors after being seen walking together, have been arrested. Arrested? Police say they will investigate it. Last year, a Christian man was accused of raping a Muslim girl, which could have been true or, in all likelihood, just a bogus rumor that circulates to inflame tensions. Somebody believes it's true, and they circulate it to inflame tensions against Christians. The alleged assault led to Muslim demonstrations and ultimately to violence when six Christians and one Muslim guard were murdered at a church. This year, Muslim anger was sparked by rumors that a bishop's wife was being held captive by the church after converting to Islam. So hang on. If a Christian converts to Islam, that's wonderful. And if the bishop, if this is true, is holding his wife after she converted, holding her captive in the church, then that's evil and terrible. On the flip it around, if a Muslim converted to Christianity, kill him. Some Muslim leaders also accused Egyptian Christians of stockpiling weapons and receiving bombs from Israel. Very, very likely. Mm-hmm. Egyptian human rights groups have warned that violence against the country's Christian minority is on the rosse. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak tried to discourage violence in a speech in October in which he stressed national unity and warned that incitement would be punished. You know, it's Islam, as it grows in power, is never tolerant. Oh, it may allow you to live as a second-class citizen, but the idea of full equality in a religious Islamic country, the idea of full equality where you have complete equal citizenship for Christians or for Jews in a strongly Islamic nation is contrary to Islam. At the very best, if there's not pressure on you to convert, if there's not forced conversion, if there's not societal prejudice against, your best case scenario is to be basically a second-class citizen within the society. It'll protect it, but a second-class citizen because you are not a Muslim. And God help you if you try to leave Islam. Any serious Muslim country in the world, severe consequences for leaving Islam. By the way, I heard a delightful story a few years back. Young Palestinian Muslim, young man had come to faith, and I'll tell you how his whole family came to faith on the other side of the break, right here on the Line of Fire, live from Jerusalem. Thank you so much for joining us today as I come to you live from Jerusalem, Michael Brown. Thanks for being with us. If you haven't been to the website recently, askdrbrown.org. Always the resources for you to watch, listen to, tune in there. And if you feel to stand with us, if you want to help us on the front lines of reaching the lost sheep of the House of Israel, if you want to help us as we stand up for moral sanity in America, if you want to help us as we raise up, send out missionaries around the world, by all means, become one of our monthly supporters. Be a torchbearer. Help us spread the fire. It's a good investment of funds, touching a lot of people with a message that you can endorse, and hopefully someone you believe in standing up for you. So when you go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on support, and I will be very grateful. Our team will be very grateful. I said that I would share a story with you about a Palestinian man, how his whole family came to faith. These were folks that knew the situation, told me about it. Muslim man gets born again. He goes to have a meal with his family. And, of course, your religious Muslim family, you convert to Christianity, you should die. And there are plenty of parts of the Muslim world where if your family kills you, they'll be commended for doing it. They can take it in their own hands and kill you for doing it. So his father poisoned him. His father, his own father, poisoned him. In his eyes, it was the right thing to do. His father poisoned him, and nothing happened to him. Sat down for the meal, ate the meal, ate the poison, not knowing that his family was doing this to him. When he was perfectly healthy and untouched by it, his father and family got saved. That's the power of the gospel. That's the real Jesus. And I was sharing with some of the folks. I did a three-day leadership seminar talking on leadership principles and then ended with an emphasis on the prayer life of Jesus last night and then taught apologetics this morning. I was talking to some of the folks that drove me back, Russian Jews living here in Israel now for many years and leading a congregation active in all kinds of wonderful ministry. I just said, you know, without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. Without the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, it is not going to happen. And even as tomorrow night, God willing, I do a lecture at Hebrew University. And again, ask you to pray for fruit. We'll have some special program you don't want to miss the next two nights, and hopefully I'll be able to give you an update from Hebrew University if I get back in time to my apartment. But I will, by God's grace, get the truth of the gospel out, and by God's grace, do it with wisdom, with apologetic wisdom, with biblical wisdom, with intellectual wisdom. But the bottom line is, it is the power of the message anointed by the Spirit that's going to make the difference, not my eloquent words, but the truth of the gospel. So let me give you my bottom line for today. We've talked about the insane policy of condoms in an elementary school in Provincetown, Massachusetts. We've talked about persecution of Christians in Egypt. And I've just talked to you about walking the streets of Jerusalem and the religious Jews that you see. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is we are in a spiritual battle. The bottom line is we are not fighting flesh and blood. The bottom line is whether it is a moral issue in an elementary school in Massachusetts or persecution of Christians in Egypt or wanting to see Jewish people saved in the land of Israel, it is the same battle. We are not battling flesh and blood. We are battling demonic powers. And the way that we win is not just trying harder. It is by being filled afresh with the Spirit. It is with the proclamation of the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, lifting him up, making him known, living lives consecrated to him so that he can work in us and through us. Which also means this, it's a real battle. But God can work through you or me because the power is God's power. Back with you tomorrow.